Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Always great to be here.
And Derek, thank you for producing.
Sure thing.
I noticed Dan redid our intro for us. A little different.
A little fun dip Dan action.
Yeah. Changed it up a little bit for us. Make us more professional. Is that what we do?
Is that possible?
I've got no Gary in my earphones. It sounds funny today. I don't know what's going on, so... I was gone all week.
You can't hear yourself?
I can't hear myself.
Really?
I got no snare in my headphones. Okay, anyway, so I was gone all week and went to Vegas, right? And saw a band that I had never seen in my 50 years. I listened to them all my life, right? Kiss, opening up in Vegas. For a month show or 2 month show, whatever. If you're going to Vegas, go see Kiss. That's all I can see. Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley, the two original guys that are still left. At their age, rocked. I mean, just amazing. You would not know that they got to be in their 60s, I'm guessing.
Oh, sure.
Or older, maybe. And they just, it was great. It was probably one of the best concerts I've ever seen. It was a smaller venue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, they hit all the tunes. But there's something that I have to say. They gave away a house to a U.S. military veteran.
It was wow.
Mortgage-free. I can't remember the name of the program they've got. We'll have to dig into it.
Mm.
But this guy was so thankful. And the audience was just amazed. You know. And after that, the guy left stage, the entire audience and the band did Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm. Wow.
Almost a tear to my eye. I mean,
sure.
Kind of a sissy cry is at a Kiss concert, but let me assure you, those guys moved me
touching.
To that point.
Yeah.
So kudos to Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley and the other two guys. I'm sorry, I don't know their names. The new guys that filled in for Peter Criss and the fourth guy, whatever.
I think they got them off of American Idol.
They might have. They went to Korea and found a couple of guys at the Journey replacing Steve Perry with a karaoke guy from the Philippines. Yeah,
and I think the guy that now is the lead singer for Boston, they found him on YouTube.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, it's America. You can do anything you want in America. Yeah, it's amazing.
I saw Gene Simmons on Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice, which I don't watch that crap, but I saw him on there a few episodes, and he was very funny. He had this kind of this arrogant shtick going on, which mm-hmm. like a totally self-promoting of himself and Kiss. And almost every time he responded, every sentence was some type of marketing self-promotion, and he did it in such a way that was so unique that only he could get away with doing that
right.
and sound funny every time.
Right. Did you ever see his show? He did one of those reality shows, Family Jewels, him and his wife, Shannon Tweed, I think is his wife. And I don't know his daughter's name or whatever, kids. But
I know of it.
It was funny. I watched it a few mm-hmm. times, just happened to catch it, you know, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, he's got kind of this serious deadpan manner about him that's very funny.
Well, he's a common sense conservative from everything I've seen and interviews I've seen like that, you know. But yes, I mean, you know, his new book out is called Me Incorporated. And basically what he's saying is pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and make something of your life. Stop depending on other people because, you know, nobody else is going to do that. I read a book not too long ago by William Shatner as well. I can't remember the Shatner Rules. And basically here's another guy who, you know, just sticks it up and pushes and promotes himself, you know. And
mm-hmm.
in William Shatner's book, he was like, don't be afraid to say no to anything or don't be afraid to not do anything because you never know where you're going to end up. I mean, some of those campy things of him singing weird songs, you know, they're funny, but it brought him a little notoriety. You never know what's going to come out of that.
He's great,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
When you say William Shatner, of course, there's the obvious Star Trek and some of the other TV shows he did. But did you see the Comedy Central roast when he was the the roast main victim?
Yeah.
And he rode in on that white horse? Because I guess he really is a...
Yes, he is a horseman.
He is a horseman.
Yes, he owns a ranch and stuff and horses.
Yeah, and he rode in and the crowd was all on their feet and cheering. And he just did it so well. He really pulled it off. He looked so dignified, and at the same time, it was funny.
Right, right. Yeah, I think they're both good entertainers, Gene Simmons and William Shatner. If you had ever seen Boston Legal,
classic.
Classic.
Classic. Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like that he did was kind of the T.J. Hooker thing, which was all right. It was a police. How many police shows do we have to endure coming out of Hollywood?
Right, and as a kid, I had grandparents that loved that show.
Yeah.
And I think I tried to watch a few episodes, and I just couldn't get into it. Adrian Zmed, wasn't that his partner?
Yes, I think so. The dark-haired guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Although there was a cool – I saw one scene that I thought was really cool where Adrian Zmed is like in this warehouse or something, and he's – I think a gunman, somebody, a bad guy, was about ready to jump him and assault him, and he did this karate kick right into the guy's face out of nowhere. That was...
Derek Clapper, karate kicks. But only on the Drift do we come up with...
But it just you weren't expecting it at all.
Yeah, because he probably never took karate in his life.
I don't know. Hey,
well, let's take care of some business and get that out of the way. Accurate Insulation is our sponsor this half hour. 877-434-8973. I noticed when I came back, it's cold still here and going to get colder. It snowed this morning. I was watching big, fat, wet flakes of snow coming down. So if you want to reduce your heating bill, get some extra insulation in your attic, your walls, wherever it needs to.
When you said big, fat, wet flake, I thought of Michael Moore you were talking about.
Ooh, I like that, though. Yeah. Or you can go to www.accurate-insulation.com. That's www.accurate-insulation.com. And they've got all kinds of stuff. New construction insulation, attic insulation, basement insulation, drop ceiling insulation. And they have infrared scanning, which is cool because you can actually see where in your house you're
heat's
leaking
going
your
out
heat.
The window.
Yeah.
Or out the money's going out the window and your heat's going out of the house.
Yes, exactly. And they are also the sponsor of Alice in Wonderland at the Brighton High School this year, and that's November 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. So you can go to www.brightonhsplay.com and you can buy your tickets in advance or call up Accurate Insulation and ask Greg if he has any information about it. So there you go. 877-434-8973, Accurate Insulation. So I was gone, but I was glued to my computer on Tuesday night trying to watch the elections. Governor Snyder, big win, 10 points over that Mark Schauer. I guess I don't have to beat him up anymore. He's gone. He's done, right? At least for another 4 years.
You know, I should admit this, but a small part of me wanted to see Schauer win just so you would be enraged for 4 more years on the show, and I could have fun with you.
I don't know that I would live another 4 years if we had that guy as our governor. I am glad that Michigan stepped up for all of you independents and ultra-conservatives that were unhappy with him. I'm thanking you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for getting out and realizing that, you know what, he was the far better choice, whether you like him or not. And I wish we could say the same for Terry Lynn Land. But she was 10 points down and just couldn't recover. I mean,
isn't it interesting how those polls usually do work out? I mean, you take this small sample and you can extrapolate, and through the, I guess, hard science of statistics, it usually turns out the way. I mean, well, especially when it's that double digit, you know what the conclusion is going to be
for the most part. At one point, not too far back, one poll was saying she was within the margin of error. So I'm surprised that the Republicans yanked that 1.2 million from her. Mm. But you know what? Shame on her for not coming on this radio show or any of these radio shows at this station, because you know what? We do everything we can to help. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she may not be your first choice. I think whoever her campaign manager should be fired and never allowed to run anybody else's campaigns. So Terry Lynn Land and who's our Ron Shostak, isn't he the GOP from Michigan guy, I think? Whatever, the head of the GOP here in Michigan, get your head out of your butt and hire some people who know what they're doing. You're a moron. This is two times in a row. We've had Hoekstra the last time, and Terry Lynn Land this time, and both those campaigns, those people should be dragged through the mud, whoever ran them, because they're idiots. I mean, not even a debate. How do you not debate Debbie Stabenow? She is easily beatable in any debate. She's got no record to run on. And Gary Peters, are you kidding me? All you have to do is have a commercial. Obamacare, Obamacare, Obamacare. He supports Obama. We now have to deal with this schmuck for six more years. Thank you, Michigan. You people that voted for him, you're idiots. Those people who didn't vote for Terry Lynn Land, you're idiots. Because you know what? We're stuck with this jerk for 6 years. You get what you vote for, and I'm pissed off, as you can see.
Well, on the bright side, Terry Lynn Land has learned her lesson, and she has kicked off her campaign for drain commissioner.
I was joking with Linda. They're going to So I'll tell you the story. So my wife and I, you know, we traveled to the airport, and leaving the airport, we saw Mike Bishop. At least it was a dead ringer for Mike Bishop. And then yesterday, as I'm flying back from Vegas, I was out there on business, I was looking at a lady at one of the little slot machines there next to the gate.
Was she running like five of them at once?
No.
That's usually what they do.
Yeah, no. This lady's sitting there, and I'm like, the hair, the glasses.
It's blue.
The chin. It's Terry Lynn Land. Again, I don't know if Terry, if you were out there, feel free to call in and say, yeah, that was me. She probably looked at me with, she had these big eyes when she saw that I was staring at her, you know, thinking, oh, my God, somebody's found me. Yes.
Terry Lynn Land was at the slots.
Where else do you go when you blow it at one of the biggest important campaigns that this state probably should have had?
Maybe she was in Vegas the whole time. She's addicted.
Maybe.
She never came back to campaign.
She was rolling the dice in Vegas instead of rolling.
Yeah. And every once in a while, as she was pulling the lever, you know, on the slot machine, she would look up at the big screen. How am I doing out there?
Now he tells us.
All right, let's go into a break because I got to catch my breath. And when we come back, we'll get into the meat of the program. But Terry Lynn Land, if I did see you in Vegas, or if I didn't, you can call me and deny that you were there. That's okay, too. 734-822-1600. We'll see you on the other side.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Find a relaxed position to let go of the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk four sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Wigs for Kids provides custom-fit, age-appropriate wigs at no cost to Michigan children who are experiencing hair loss as a result of cancer treatment, alopecia, and other medical conditions. For more information on how you can make a contribution to help support the mission of Wigs for Kids, please call 586-772-6656. That's 586-772-6656. There are children that need your help. Support the mission of Wigs for Kids by calling 586-772-6656.
My pain used to keep me up all night. I didn't know what to do. I finally told my doctor what was going on, and I'm glad I did. I found out there was a lot I could do to manage my pain. I'm taking yoga now and walking every day. I've even signed up for a water aerobics class. I'm taking care of myself. And you know what? It's working for me.
Learn to manage your pain. Visit the Michigan Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs pain management website at michigan.gov/PM.
Remember how excited you were as a child to open presents on Christmas morning? Now think of all the parents in Washtenaw County that are struggling to buy gifts for their children this year. Hello, I'm Major Chris Wood from the Salvation Army, Washtenaw County. And together with WAM Talk 1600, we are collecting toys for children in our community so that they will have a present to open on Christmas morning. For more information, visit sawashtenaw.org.
You're listening to The Drift on WHAM Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch our drift here at WHAM Talk 1600, 734-822-1600. If you want to discuss the election, you're more than welcome to do so. Call in and give us your opinions. I was, for the most part, happy, I think, with the election turnout. It would have been nice to have a veto-proof majority in the Senate. We didn't get that, but it was better than the opposite. So at least we did take it. I think we've got Louisiana. We still have to see what's going to happen in a runoff election there. But on the whole, I think we did all right. And one of the things that came up afterward was Obama's inability to admit that there was a big victory for the Republicans, and the fact that he just can't seem to change his viewpoints. He kind of came out to say that he was slightly for working with Republicans, but in a hindsighted sort of way. Derek, we want to talk a little bit. He came out and he did this speech afterwards. You got that track ready, Derek? Let's play that. This is Barack Obama.
If, in fact, one of the items on Mitch McConnell's agenda and John Boehner's agenda is to make responsible changes to the Affordable Care Act to make it work better, I'm going to be very open and receptive to hearing those ideas. But what I will remind them is that despite all the contention, we now know that the law works. You've got millions of people who have health insurance who didn't have it before.
All right. The law works. The law is not working because you may have given millions of people some ability to be covered by Obamacare. But there are millions of people who lost their coverage, didn't keep their doctors, didn't keep their plans. And now we're finding out not only are prices going up for most people, there are occasional people who seem to have benefited one way or the other. We'll see how long the subsidies last that help those people who have benefited.
Well, that's going to the Supreme Court now, we hear.
Is that what Linda was talking about earlier? I have not been able to. Yes, there were, I know it's going to the Supreme Court, so we've gotten, and that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, this just blows me away. You have this law written by whoever, you know, the actual eggheads that sit down and write the verbiage, lawyers, everything else. And they word it such that the subsidies will apply to the subsidies will apply to the state exchanges. So 36 of the states elected not to have their own exchange. They're federal healthcare.gov exchanges in those 36 states that chose not to have their own individual exchange. So the idea is that going to the Supreme Court, the actual literal wording of the law is that the subsidies do not apply to those 36 states.
Well,
so that would gut the whole concept of Obamacare. My point being, if this is such a flagship part of your presidential legacy, how could you be so stupid as to have the wording so obviously wrong?
Yeah, I think.
And how could it pass through and nobody even notices it until just recently, within the last year or so?
Because they didn't read it. They didn't read the 20,000 pages or whatever the heck it was.
But you know what I'm getting at? I mean, it just seems like a Ripley's Believe It or Not, even though I know it was a very voluminous bill and in theory nobody read it. Still.
Yeah. Well, the part is you've got so many different parties, special interests as it were, that wrote their own individual parts. There was probably not enough time or money in the world to have one person go through the thing from end to end and find proof it out.
Yeah,
they couldn't. And why? Because Barack Obama is a rank amateur who never should have been elected to office, and the fact that people wanted the first black American president, let me tell you, there's a million black guys out there who would, or women, who would be better suited for the job. Condoleezza Rice. Tim Scott, just elected senator in South Carolina. South Carolina or North Carolina? South Carolina, I think. Love that guy. Colonel Allen West. Love that guy. I would have taken Herman Cain. You know, tons of African Americans who can run and be president, and I would be proud to put my vote behind them.
Yeah.
But they gave it to Barack Obama because he's a liberal.
Oh, yeah.
And he fit the bill. You know, the empty suit that looked good.
He fit the suit like Greg Brady. But it's still a head scratcher to me that this thing wasn't proofread to the degree that they could catch something so blatant. It'd be like, you know, every once in a while, if you get a book from as a gift or you buy the book from wherever and you read it and you see a handful of obvious typos. It's like, how could this get out?
Yeah.
Wasn't there one person at this publishing house that read it through that's probably being paid fairly well
to catch those?
And their whole reputation, their whole sense of legitimacy is on the line that a ninth grade English student would catch, and it gets out and millions of those books are published, yeah. Or hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, when you're printing on that levels, you absolutely sure. Like, we'll get typos in the current one, but I mean, let's face it, the current is put out by a bunch of part-timers. We all have real jobs, you know, so we do get the occasional. And I've had some professors from U of M call me and say, "Oh, how dare you put that comma where it doesn't belong?" And I, you know, I send them back emails and I say, "Listen, man, this is a part-time gig
right.
for us. No, we do the best we can. Sometimes we miss things, or you know, the grammar's not quite the way it wants to be, or should be." And you know, the last time that happened, this U of M professor went, "Oh my God, I had no idea that you guys do this as a hobby." Mm-hmm. You know, that I hadn't. She was completely apologetic, and I said, "Hey, we're a community paper. If you want to jump in and do some editing for us, love to have you, you know, jump in and help out."
But I'm talking about books by, you know, Simon and Schuster are on the New York Times bestseller list, and there's typos.
Yeah.
Or, in this case, what we're talking about, at the highest level of government, a life-changing, monumental bill, whether you agree with it or not, has, in a sense, a big, fat typo that is going to the Supreme Court and may be overruled because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think what it comes down to, too, is there's so much legalese in these things. You know what? Make your laws in plain English.
Streamline them.
Yeah, why do you have to put all these legal words and phrases and blah, blah? You know what? Nobody knows Latin anymore. E pluribus unum. That's all I know. But yeah, take that crap out and make it basic, simple, stupid English that Joe from 7-Eleven can pick up and read and go, "Oh, I know what that means.
Are you threatening me? Are you threatening me?"
Yeah, they need to make it a crap-free zone, like the Drift.
A crap-free zone, yes. Well, Obamacare was so bad, I had an article linked up. And what we do here on the Drift is go through the stories that I put on the Daily Drift every day for you at www.thedailydrift.com. And if you want to email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, either during the show, or after the show, before the show, or if you want to contribute to the Daily Drift, you're more than welcome to. But one of the stories I put up there concerned Obamacare, and this little-known fact didn't seem to make a whole lot of the news. 29 senators who voted for Obamacare will not be part of the new Senate this year.
Wow.
Coming in 2015. 29.
Substantial.
Now, more than half of the senators, and these guys all voted, men and women, voted for Obamacare.
Not more than half according to Common Core. Let's get our calculations straight here. Sorry.
Now, I'm not saying all 29 were voted out of office. Some just said, "Hey, I'm not." They knew what was coming, and they said no. And I think somebody died. I can't remember which one it was. I could look through this, but I'm feeling lazy, so I'm not going to dig through the paperwork and make everyone listen to the shuffling sound like that. But 29 senators who voted for Obamacare are now gone. That's the price you pay for stupidity, the way I look at it. You know, if you voted for Obamacare, you should practically be in jail or doing community service because you are a complete retard who voted for something like that without reading it. Nancy Pelosi, she should be in jail for stupidity.
Oh, for many years. I mean, she should have been in jail many years ago, but also for many years going forward.
All right. That's the hard break coming up. We'll see you on the other side.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Mike Craig. President Obama makes it official this morning, naming U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Loretta Lynch, as his choice for Attorney General. Lynch says if confirmed by the Senate, she'll be honored to protect the American people in this role.
The Department of Justice is the only cabinet department named for an ideal. And this is actually appropriate because our work is both aspirational and grounded in gritty reality.
Obama highlights Lynch's accomplishments that include prosecuting not only the terrorists who plotted to bomb the Federal Reserve Bank and the New York subway system, but also officers involved in the 1997 Abner Louima assault. A shocking turn of events in North Korea for detainees Kenneth Bay and Matthew Todd Miller. The Blaze Radio's Brad James has the story.
Bay and Miller were the last Americans held by North Korea. Miller is from California, was serving a six-year jail term on charges of espionage after he allegedly ripped his tourist visa upon arriving in North Korea in April and demanded asylum. Bay is from Washington State. He's a Korean-American missionary with health problems. He was serving a 15-year sentence for alleged anti-government activities.
For the first time, prospective Virgin Galactic space tourists are asking for their money back. The request for refunds follows the October 31st crash of a Virgin Galactic experimental rocket ship that killed the co-pilot. The London newspaper The Telegraph reports Virgin Galactic stands to lose more than $4.7 million. The Big Apple looking a little more like Christmas. The Blaze Radio's Greg Moore reports.
A sure sign the holiday season is here. This year's Rockefeller Center Christmas tree has arrived. The 85-foot-tall, 13-ton Norway spruce arriving in Manhattan Friday morning after being cut down on Wednesday in Danville, Pennsylvania. They'll throw the switch on the lights December 3rd at Rockefeller Center.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
On Tuesday, November 11th, Veterans Day, Concordia University in Ann Arbor will cancel day classes and celebrate the contributions and sacrifices of the men and women who have served in our armed forces. The day will be filled with events and ceremonies from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., including a flag dedication at the 10:30 a.m. chapel service, Coast Guard helicopter demonstration at 1 p.m., faculty seminars on topics of interest to veterans, information on support services for veterans, and other activities. The public is invited to participate in any or all the festivities. Concordia University is on Geddes Road, just west of US 23 at exit 39. Parking and events are free if you are a veteran. Lunch for you and a guest is also free. Maya Chapter in Ann Arbor of the American Women's Business Association presents 8 teachings for pursuing your dream. It'll be Tuesday, November 18th. 6 p.m. is networking. 6:30 p.m. is the dinner meeting. This event is free, but dinner is at your own cost. Please make your reservation by noon on Thursday, November 13th at abwa-maia.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey, hey.
And Derek doing the production.
Hello.
Hello. Well, thanks for joining us. And we're talking post-election or anything else. It's your show as well as ours. I'm not married to this agenda. So if there's anybody that has something to say, we'll be happy to take it. Let's take a call from John on line one. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I'm with you on the Peters. And what a boy, we kicked some butt on that election. I just love it. But listen, on this healthcare thing, a couple things really important on what you're touching on. Boehner and McConnell, right after the election, you know, the people are saying with this election, look, we don't want this. We want it changed. We want it gone. And then we'll replace it with something else. And McConnell since he's got a solid 6 years, because the Dems set it up where you can't be held accountable, you know, by the state House representatives and stuff, where everybody else could be recalled. So he's got a clean 6 years. And what did he say? He said, "Well, we're not gonna raise the debt type thing, the money, and we're not going to close down the government." So he's already capitulating. Well, then Levin and others started screaming, because that was day one comment on the election, and him and Boehner have changed their tune a bit. And I also hear it's going to the Supreme Court, because you got 35 and 15, that's 50 states, and a certain amount of them took this money from the government, and others did not. And like Colbeck stopped Governor Rick Rhino Schneider from Jennifer Schneider from getting that through. And so they're going to challenge that, and I'm praying that the Supreme Court will take it down, and if they do, the whole thing will fall apart. But that has got so many things attached to it, it'll destroy the United States if we don't get rid of that health care.
Yeah, well, that's a good segue, John. Thank you for the call, because I'm going to give out the phone numbers for people to get on and make sure that we do our... Just because we won the election doesn't mean our job is done.
You're right. Right now, we need to call our senators and put the squeeze on them now. We can't let them distract us with these other things they're already doing, their Solinsky tactics and throwing this up and that up on the media. Look at the shiny object.
Right.
You know, we've got to stay... I'm so with you. God bless.
God bless.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. All right, that's absolutely right. And you can start, and you have to. These are numbers you should be plugging into your phone, your cell phone, and making sure that – make the phone call on your way into work, on your way home from work. What else are you going to do in that half-hour commute? You can call the White House, 202-456-1111, and just vent.
I've called that number, and this is what I get. The operator answers, and she says – one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. No, what John was talking about with the Supreme Court and Obamacare, again, it goes back to, are the subsidies from the federal government that go to people to help them pay for their premiums, is that allowed under Obamacare? Because it says that those subsidies in the bill itself says that those subsidies are only applicable to individual state exchanges, not to the states that have the federal exchange or utilizing the federal exchange, like Michigan, for example.
So you're not treating everybody equally, is what it comes down to.
Well,
right?
The wording of the bill is such that, again, it goes back to subsidies for individual state exchanges. It mentions nothing about a federal exchange and subsidies for those people registered under the federal healthcare exchange. Okay. And if they rule that the subsidies are illegal to those 36 states, like Michigan, that are utilizing the federal healthcare exchange, then of course the whole Obamacare has to collapse, because there will be no money for it.
Right. Well, there. Good. I like that. Let's take a call from Jimmy in Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? I think your last caller was right. We've got to keep right on moving forward. I don't trust these people. They're liable to do most anything. So we've got to make sure that what we voted for is what we get.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we have to. Now the work begins. I mean, don't think it was fun to celebrate election night and say, hey, look what we did. Now we have to make them do that. And you can go to – call the White House if you want, or you can go to whitehouse.gov/contact. You can send an email. They make it kind of hard for you to send, but you can. And then you can contact Boehner. His phone number is 202-225-0600. And Mitch McConnell, 202-224-2541. And you got to make these phone calls. You know, you can call Tim Walberg. He'll be in on it. You can call Mike Bishop. And because he'll be in January. But you have to continue to make the calls. Do not let these Republicans slide, because you know what? They're just as bad as a Democrat.
Hey,
so we have to get on it.
Let me run this by you two guys, Gary and Jimmy. Okay. The Republicans take back the Senate. They increased their power in the House, their number of seats in the House. 2 years from now, when, again, we're probably going to have the same kind of issues confronting us, the debt spiraling out of control, God knows what other problems on the international arena, here at home, there's going to be some gridlock. The battle of putting out the message as to who is to blame, the Democrats have always been superior in this because the dumbed-down public, the electorate, always buys it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. If that's the scenario 2 years from now and the presidential campaign is in full swing, is it a temporary victory right now to have the House and the Senate under Republican control when possibly Hillary Clinton, for example, can blame them for the problems 2 years from now and using the whole, you gave the Republicans a chance. They've had 2 years and things are worse than ever. And people, I'm thinking, to a large degree, will buy into that. Would it have been better to have, and I know people are going to scream at me for even suggesting this, but tactically, for 2 years from now, to take the presidency and secure the Senate and the House, would it have been almost better to have not taken back the Senate and maybe even lost some seats in the House?
I thought the same thing, dude. It's like this now.
Is this a temporary victory
that's
going to come back to haunt us 2 years from now because the information war is such that the Republicans always lose?
Yeah. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I think that Rush Limbaugh's right. I think that we have to make him a do-nothing president.
Yes, that's exactly right.
We have to send bill after bill after bill after bill after bill and let him veto them or not sign them or let him sit at his desk.
Yeah, that's right.
And
because
take him out to be the obstructionist.
Yeah.
Are people aware enough, though, when they vote 2 years from now, to realize that?
They
need to, but the Democrats are so good, as they've proven time after time after time, because of the audience they're preaching to that wants to believe the Democrats, that it's the Republicans' fault.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell and John Boehner need to stand up. Those 400 bills that the Congress already passed and gave to the Senate that are sitting on Harry Reid's desk right now, starting January, whatever day they take office, Mitch McConnell should have the first one run through the Senate, vote it in, take it up, put it right on Obama's desk, and have the thing. You got 14 days or whatever to sign it, veto it, or whatever. And if it goes through, it goes through. If it doesn't, you pull it out and say, here's one sitting on Obama's desk. He's not signing it, or he just vetoed it.
Right, I agree. There's two issues here. There's one, what you actually do, but the other, which is almost more important, how you present it to the people 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Now, are the Republicans overall going to have a Terry Lynn Land-type message campaign?
Yeah, where they do nothing? Yeah.
Or a John McCain, Sarah Palin-type campaign?
Yeah.
Where they're very weak at putting out the information?
They need to be sitting on Fox News couch in the morning, the big curvy couch.
But then you're preaching to the choir.
Well,
somehow they've got to go beyond that, and that's where it gets really tricky.
Well, that's on us, because we can't force CNN and MSNBC to do that. I think they will. If you make a big enough stink about it, people will stand up and say, look, that bill's sitting there. You know, get your butts out on Facebook, and that becomes our job. To get out on Facebook and say, listen, this bill just passed the Senate. It passed the House 2 years ago, and Obama's not doing it. He's going to veto it, or he's going to let it slide.
What happens if we go into, and we're due for a recession, because these economic cycles are such that they are, and people start losing their jobs again, and then the information war, the blame game starts, and you got just your normal, I lost my job, I vote Democrat.
Yeah.
You know, and then they just do it again.
That's
what happens if Obama becomes an outright Stalin too. I mean, what? And he's lame duck. He's got 2 years left. He can pretty much do whatever he wants executively. Nobody's going to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what he's going to do, Jimmy?
He's already said he's going to do that.
He's going to try to get himself impeached so that the Republicans look like racist bad guys who are trying to get rid of our first black president. That's what he's going to do. So he's going to push the envelope for the next 2 years on everything he can, starting with 5 to 12 million illegals that he's going to give the green cards to.
Oh, the 5 million or so, 10 million or whatever it is, illegals are really going to hurt us economically.
Absolutely.
Here's
what the liberals say, Jimmy.
The liberals
will say they're not taking our jobs. The minute you give them green cards and make them legal residents or illegal alien workers, they're going to upgrade. They're going to go and take that dishwashing job instead of picking fruit. They're going to go and take that sales job at Hudson's or wherever if they speak good enough English. Or they're going to take those waiting table jobs that Americans are actually working right now, and you're going to drive down the wages. That's what you're going to do. So,
well, they've already driven down wages in construction.
Yes,
in the construction
absolutely.
Business for well over my entire adult life, and I watched us go from, I mean, back in the 1990s, I made $25 an hour. And that was a starting wage, a mediocre starting wage. Now, I'm lucky. I take a lot of jobs that I only make $16 or $17 an hour on because I'd rather have that than nothing.
Hey, Jimmy, what you just said is a big reason why a lot of people will vote for Hillary Clinton, because you made a reference to the 90s. People think of the 90s, they think of Bill Clinton. In 2016, people are going to say, you know what? When Bill Clinton was in office, I had money in my pocket. Hillary Clinton will do the same for me in the year 2016. Yeah. Yep. A lot of people think that, and you cannot pierce through their hard-headed thinking on that.
They don't realize that it was Newt Gingrich that forced Bill Clinton to that spot. So, Jimmy, anything else before we let you go?
A lot of phony money in the come on, you know, the derivatives market and what was going on.
Oh, yeah, the internet boom.
Gary Summers and
dot-com bubble.
Bourne, you know, kind of pointed it out to us. A lot of that wasn't real.
Oh, exactly. You know? And another thing about that is, like I said, the business cycle is such that it is that you have your boom periods and you have your recession periods. And Bill Clinton was elected right at the right time, timing-wise, by chance, because we were just starting to come out of a recession after the first George Bush was completing his first term, and Bill Clinton rolled that whole thing up. So, you know, just timing sometimes for a president as to how they ride these economic cycles when they're first elected is a big thing.
Well, it was derivatives. It was derivatives in the housing market that got everybody building all these new homes. We were building $500,000-$600,000 homes back in the early 90s, mid 90s. These people would move in and they didn't even have money to buy furniture for these houses, you know.
They're spread
out. They
were
buying them.
Yeah.
You know, because money was cheap.
Yeah. Well, there's
Well, thanks for the call, Jimmy.
What you said, Gary, you mentioned English. And I'm glad you brought that up because I'm pull out a carton of eggs today before I come to the station, right? And it's in Spanish. You know, I mean, you got the eggs on there in English. But
huevos.
Yeah, exactly. This country has become a bilingual country, like Canada, except it's not official government policy. It's almost more of a corporate policy. Try calling an 800 number, whatever service it might be, your bank, whatever, and what do you get initially? Spanish.
Yeah.
You can't buy anything that isn't also labeled in Spanish. You can't walk in a department store or down an aisle of Home Depot or Lowe's, and all the aisles are marked English and Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, it almost makes me want to think, I'm going to boycott these products and services that have all this Spanish added on and shoved down my throat. But they're all like that.
Yeah. That'd be a tough boycott.
Yeah, you can't live in this country now without being subjected to the bilingual. It's forced down our throats. Nobody voted to become a bilingual country. Our borders are insecure again, and so that's why we are by default now a bilingual country, just like Canada is English and French.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Totally unfortunate. Let's take a call from Walter in Belleville. Walter, welcome back.
Welcome back, your black conservative friend.
My brother from another mother.
Exactly.
How are you?
What's going on, Walter?
Hey, I'm giving y'all good news and bad news. The good news is I'm a truck driver during the week, and I was just happened to be driving yesterday on 94 going back to base, punch out for the day, and I just happened to have it on this local radio station, 1500, which is basically a conservative Christian station. And, man, I am rejoicing because a lot of blacks are starting to wake up.
Oh, that is good news, Walter.
I heard them call one after another. Call that radio station, says they did their homework this time, and Barack Obama was exposed. And these are Christian people because Barack Obama, we know he believes in killing babies, promoting homosexuality, high taxes, and I can go up and down the list, on and on. And they woke up to that fact and said in their hearts of hearts and conscience, they could not see themselves voting for that man because of what he promotes. And they actually switched over for the first time from the Democrats, or I call them Democrats.
Yeah. You know what I call them, Walter? I like the term poverty pimp. That's the one that I see all the time, and I think that's exactly right. That's what Democrats are. They're poverty pimps. They want to keep poor people of any color down and in control. They want them on subsidies and everything else so that they'll vote for them and keep them in power.
That's it. And people are starting to wake up to that because they don't see their life circumstances changing, especially when it comes to their wallets and their purses, you know?
Yep.
And they've been in poverty all this time. So they have finally left slave ship Donkey Tabernacle. And also, and they have switched over. I hope that this big exodus continues on and on and on. And that's the good news. Now, the bad news, I was watching the new leader or the Speaker of the House, soon to be, Mitch Marblemouth O'Connell. John, whiskey-drinking Obanus, put so much whiskey in and drank that it just perverts his whole judgment on anything. I know I got a nickname for a lot of people, but anyway. I'm not beating around the bush no more, man. We've been too nice to these people. But before this clown, this Mr. Mitch O'Connell, before the votes came in all the way, and he was already projected to be the winner, before the words can even come out of his mouth to announce, you know, thank the people and everything else, this clown got to talk about, we're going to make deals with the Democrats. That's what got us in the mess we're in today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think the message coming out of Boehner, and maybe they've turned, because I think they did get some grief from a lot of people very quickly. Now is not the time to be cutting deals with Obama. I mean, if there's, I can't even think of one thing that we could agree with Obama on. I can't think of one. Can you think of one, Walter?
Oh, I can't think of one thing. Only thing I can agree with him on, maybe he's a good family man. I think he's a good family man and really loves his family. But far as politically, spiritually, socially, economically, and on, man, it's not one thing he's done. He's about 99 point, the other decimals added to that. Wrong.
Yeah.
Well, and he's a con artist. He's a fraud. And he's an imposter. It has done more destruction and misery in this country than in all the presidents put together.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, this is what you hear in the world of politics and the media, and it just depends on which week or which month the voice is louder. On the one hand, you hear the do-nothing Congress, they need to do the people's work and get things done. Okay, that implies compromise. On the other hand, you hear, don't sacrifice your principles, don't make any deals with this, the opposing side. And
right.
If they start to hint at that, you know what I mean? It's like, what do the people want? Do you want to stand up for principle, even if it means, quote, nothing gets done? Or do you want to cave and compromise and sell yourself out so that, quote, something gets done? And
okay,
and I'm not pointing that at you, Walter. I'm saying in general, I'm just venting
right.
Because I get sick of those competing messages. And
me
it's like,
too.
It's like, pick your poison. Which one do you want? And be consistent with it. I don't want to hear how nothing's getting done and you're bitching about that. And on the other hand, you don't want to compromise in anything and you're bitching about that.
Compromise
yeah.
is just a buzzword for selling your soul to the devil.
I agree.
Hey.
If you're elected, if you are elected, you state to the people in your district, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. I will be consistent on this. And that's what you should do. You should not cave. You should stick to your guns. And if you go in there and people start screaming at you that, well, now you're an obstacle. You're not getting anything done. I'd throw right back at them, you elected me based on these principles. And if I can't get anything done in your mind, it's because I'm sticking to the principles you elected me into office for.
That's right. And also, I knew we were in trouble with John Boehner back in the past. How soon do we forget, man, to take a lesson from history? When John Boehner went playing golf with Obama, making those secret doors behind, those secret deals behind door, I knew we was in trouble with that. I even warned the Tea Party. I showed up at a Tea Party meeting. I warned him about that. I said, man, there's something about that guy. He's soft. He's watered down. And I said, forget about all those tears he shed me when he first became the Speaker of the House. It was just a big sham, man. The guy went making deals. Oh, and he still said, Barack Obama is my friend. How can a person that believes in destroying your country and murdering babies and promoting this homosexual crap be your friend? That shows your values. You are who you associate with. So
yeah.
John Boehner, and he's one of the biggest liars. He lied to us about the debt ceiling and all that upcoming, and about the so-called called Contract with America he lied about.
Yeah.
Him and some of the watered-down, Judas backstabbing Republicans.
Yeah. Well, Walter, as always, great call. I appreciate you calling in and appreciate your points because you always hit it spot on. So hopefully we'll hear from you again next week.
You know, all this complaining about George Hamilton. I mean, John Boehner.
George Hamilton.
Thanks, Walter. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Walter.
I'll be back with you guys.
All right. Take care. Let's take a call from Dennis from Dearborn before we run out of time. Dennis, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing over there?
Good. What's going on, Dennis?
What's up?
Well, I was just listening to you guys just a few minutes ago, and I thought I heard you say you can't live in this country without being subjected to, like, foreign languages or something like that.
Pretty much.
It seems like, yeah, you see a lot of Spanish. I know, like, down in your neck of the woods, you probably see a lot of Arabic.
A lot of signs with squiggly lines on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's what I was going to tell you. I mean, you can't, live in the city of Dearborn, or as our old buddy Theron calls Dearbornistan, mm-hmm. without Arabic language, or, both verbal and written.
Maybe we're just not being...
an example. The Kroger store on Colson, well, it's no longer standing. I mean, it's there's another occupant there, but lanes, the aisles that have hanging displays, what's mm-hmm. in that aisle in general, there was some of that was written in Arabic.
Yeah. I guess I'm torn on that. If you go to Chinatown, it's been that way for years, as Chinese writing in China. If they want to live like that, what bothers me most about that is when all of a sudden I can't get pork at Kroger anymore in Dearborn, I'm going to be one angry guy. You know what I mean? If I can't pick up my bacon, my pork bologna, or whatever else because somebody says, ew, that's not kosher, or that's not whatever, halal.
Yeah.
That's what would bother me.
You bring up a good point, Gary. Like, say, Chinatown, there's a certain... I don't know, unique exoticness to a small area. There's several blocks, like in New York City, for example. Chinatown, touristy, right? You go there. And I get that. What I'm against is this broad brush, this everywhere you go in America now, in these franchise stores like a Home Depot or a Sears or whatever, and it's English and Spanish. This isn't a unique, exotic area to go to shop and eat or whatever. Yep. This is everywhere you go. You can't call it, like I said, an 800 number without being subjected to, blah, 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 por favor, uno. And then you sit there and you wait. You wait for the English person to come on. It's like, why should I have to wait through this Spanish crap? I'm an American. I speak English. That's what everybody should speak as their number one language. I shouldn't have to sit through this BS Spanish to get my call place and talk to somebody.
Yeah. What were you saying, Dennis?
Yeah, the high school I went to, Fortson, when I first went there, it was 60% Arabic, and now it's probably skyrocketed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's changed. Dearbornistan is a term. It's its own place now. So, well, Dennis, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you, sir.
All right, well, there we go. Another show, just not long enough.
Yeah.
Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and stay informed. And make those calls to your government.
Maybe for some listeners, too long.
We'll see you next week.
Take care.